to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we will be discussing an article that Dr. Bruce Anderson wrote for the October issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Effects of a Freeze on Forages. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Anderson.
Well, thanks for having me with this topic, Aaron.
Well, October is here, and that means for much of the state, sometime in this month, we're going to see freezing temperatures across most of Nebraska. Share with our listeners some things that they should be aware of in terms of the effects of a freeze on forages.
Well, I think there's a number of things that freezes do to our plants, some that may be beneficial in some situations, but also some that can cause some problems with various toxins that we have. For instance, there are a number of plants that can form a toxin called prussic acid, or also known as cyanide. Plants in this category tend to be more of the sorghum-type species, things like cane, shatter cane, milo, sorghum sedangrass, that group of plants. And because they can form prussic acid, we always have to be aware of what situations lead to that formation and when or when it will not be a potential toxin to the animals. Normally, under typical situations, the prussic acid, the compounds that form prussic acid are in the plant cell, but they're in separate parts of the cell, and so they don't come together until the cells are broken apart. This usually occurs under normal situations through the animal consuming and chewing on the plant and breaking it apart, or the digestive process. This can be a fairly slow, controlled release of the prussic acid, and the animal is able to neutralize the toxicity of it in those situations. When we have a freeze occur, though, in the plant cells, ice crystals form, and these ice crystals puncture cell membranes and start the various compounds mixing together there in the standing plant. Then when the animal, especially under grazing, consumes this plant, the prussic acid is already being released very rapidly. Under those situations, the animal can get too fast and too high a dose of prussic acid for them to be able to naturally neutralize it. And as a result, it can cause some health problems and even cause some livestock deaths. Fortunately, one good thing about prussic acid is that typically it can very quickly turn into a gas. And so we typically will recommend that after a freeze, people wait for 3, 4, 5 days, maybe even a week sometimes, before going in to graze these plants, because after that time period, this prussic acid that has been formed by the freezing of the plant will have turned into a gas, it will have disappeared, and will no longer be available to cause any poisoning actions on the animals. So that's one of the problems that can occur with a freeze. Another one is nitrates. That's another potential toxin that exists there. And when plants freeze, we typically will see their metabolism slow down. As their metabolism to put together different plant compounds slows down, sometimes the stress will allow the nitrates to accumulate in the plant rather than get metabolized into proteins and other nitrogen-containing compounds. If this buildup is particularly high, again, the nitrates may be a problem for the animals. This is more likely to occur in a lot of the annual grasses. I see it happening most often in things like oats, maybe some oats that was planted as a cover crop here this fall. Millets, sedangrass, other summer annual grasses are the typical ones that we'll see this kind of buildup occur there. So again, it's kind of the same type of situation that either grazing or especially hay that might be cut right after this freeze on those plants will have a higher level of nitrates in it than the plant normally would have, and we've got to be careful that we test these hays for their nitrate content and then feed them accordingly to avoid any toxicity for our animals. Now, that's kind of the problems that we have with grasses. Alfalfa and other legumes for that matter, but especially alfalfa, kind of acts two different ways to a freeze. First off, when it gets a hard freeze, oftentimes we'll see a little bit of nitrate buildup, but typically not so bad that it's hazardous. But it also, for a few days, breaks free some of the compounds, some of the protein compounds and others within the plant that can enable bloat to occur after the animals have consumed it. So right after a hard freeze, we got to be careful about grazing these plants, the alfalfa plants, because they can be more of a bloat hazard at that time period. But again, just like with nitrates, just like with the prussic acid, if we wait for maybe about 5 to 7 days, this risk of bloat goes down a great deal. And oftentimes then the alfalfa can be even safer to graze and be free of bloat than before the freeze occurred. So waiting until a hard freeze can be a good, safe management practice that way. There's also one other thing that freeze does to plants that wasn't mentioned in the article in the Beef Watch that I think is especially important this year, Aaron, and that is how a freeze affects the moisture content of the plants. We've had a lot of prevent plant acres planted to especially some of the summer annual grasses, forage sorghums, and similar types of plants, as well as some other acres that were put into cover crops. And now producers are looking to harvest those plants as a hay crop or as a silage crop. But typically, the plants are way too wet when they're standing out there. If they cut them for hay, it's going to take days and days and even weeks sometimes for them to dry down enough to make into a good hay. Or if they want to make it into a silage urine, the plant standing out there in its normal condition is way too wet. It may have 80 to 85% moisture content in it. And we prefer to see plants more in the 65% moisture level when we chop it as silage. So when a freeze occurs, one of the things that we also see in the plants is that we start seeing leaves drying down, start seeing a plant dying off. This can be actually a beneficial step for anyone that's looking to harvest these plants, because that dry down of the standing plant will help both from the standpoint of cutting hay, and especially can be beneficial from the standpoint of standing silage. Be careful, especially that silage mode, because just because leaves especially are drying down a lot, don't be misled into thinking that the plant is getting real, real dry, because most of the moisture tends to get trapped in that stalk, in that stem. And so oftentimes we have to have either a real hard freeze to start seeing that stem start to dry down a little bit, or we have to have a series of modest freezes before the plants really reach that good silage moisture content while standing in the field. When it does reach that point, though, we've got to act fast, because it's not unusual to see the plants dry down real quickly and within a day or two end up being drier than what we'd like them to be. So we got to look at that moisture content as well, Aaron.
Dr. Anderson, anything we should be aware of in terms of light frost, and then we maybe have an Indian summer? Any potential problems there with plant regrowth or other situations that could also be toxic?
That's a very good question, and I think it is one important situation we've got to watch for. You mentioned the regrowth, and that certainly is a risk situation when we start looking at some of the sorghums. You know, we can get a frost that will kill the top of the plant, but when the plant top gets killed, but then temperatures and growing conditions return to favorable situation, that may encourage the plant to shoot up some new shoots, some new basal tillers. And it's those basal tillers that can be extremely toxic in terms of prussic acid content to animals that might be grazing out there. So when we have that situation like you described, Aaron, of getting a freeze and then having a nice Indian summer, if we're grazing plants at that time, before we do so, we should really be taking a good look at the field, looking at the base of the plants, and see what kind of population of those new shoots and tillers are out there. If there's a few out there, that's no big deal. But if it looks like there is an abundance of those tillers out there, and we realize that that's probably going to be the most attractive part of the plant to graze, so they're going to be selectively grazing on those special new succulent juicy tillers, we may need to wait until we get another freeze, one that's hard enough and deep enough into the canopy that kills off those tillers as well before we take the risk of grazing in those fields. So we got to watch for those situations. Another situation that I particularly see happen a lot, again, with these sorghum-type species, is that we get a freeze that, well, it only kills off the top part of the plant and doesn't go deep into the canopy. So we've got a lot of green material down below there. And that green material may be perfectly fine for use for WAP. Then we get another freeze, and we end up getting another flush of the prussic acid being released out there. So it may be a situation where we go back and forth over a period of several weeks with a freeze and a danger period, and then we get a safe period. Then we get another freeze that could create a bit of a danger period, and then a safe period again. So watching for all of these kinds of risky periods and recognizing how you might plan to work with your livestock at that time, it's really critical to avoid any catastrophes out there.
Anything else you'd like to highlight, Dr. Anderson, as we point towards wrapping this up?
Well, I think it's just a matter of being aware of some of the problems and some of the opportunities that exist as a result of the changing weather that we get this time of the year, and have a plan of how you're going to react to it, how you're going to deal with your animal management during it in order to avoid any unforeseen problems that may be out there.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Dr. Anderson.
I appreciate you having me on, Aaron.
For more information on the article that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, I'd encourage you to visit the beef.unl.edu website. At the website, there's also additional resources on this topic.